Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Nick Cartel.
Who plays Jean Valjean in Les Mis, which is coming
That is correct.
It's coming to National Theater from December 20th through January 7th. Nick, thanks for joining us, sir.
I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, is this your first time playing Jean Valjean?
It is. It is the first time stepping into this role, and I'm having a blast.
I mean, it's such an iconic role, and we've seen it on stage a million times, but then also Hugh Jackman on the big screen, so there's a pretty big shoes to fill, though. But what's the trickiest part or the most rewarding part of Jean Valjean?
You know, I think it's truly the most rewarding part of doing this show is getting to tell this story, getting to pretty much play a character that spans a lifetime, getting out of prison after 19 years and kind of rediscovering who he is as a person and finding out that he still has life in him and a soul and that he wants to create a better world and do good even after everything that he's gone through. It really, I think, speaks to what's happening not only with people today in our country, you know, people fighting for a better world and, you know, fighting change but also it speaks to kind of the human spirit and a fight for the human spirit, which I think is why audiences are loving it and connecting with it so much.
Absolutely. And I guess before we get too far down into talking about the themes and everything, let's take a step back. And you and I know what the story is about, but let's say one of our listeners has never seen, or it's hard to imagine, has never seen Les Mis. Give them a quick, you know, premise, plot summary kind of a deal.
Okay, quick kind of overview is my character Jean Valjean is put in prison for trying to help his sister and her son by stealing a loaf of bread. He gets put in prison for 19 years, gets out of prison, and immediately trying to, you know, figure out where his place is in the world again, ends up doing a mistake. He steals some silver from a bishop, and instead of the bishop throwing him back in prison, he forgives him, gives him more silver, and it's with that Jean Valjean starts a brand new life and pretty much breaks his parole from prison. There's Inspector Javert, who is now on a lifelong quest to find Valjean and put him back in prison. And all throughout, you meet all of the people that come into Valjean's life, like Fantine. He adopts her daughter, and it's the story of their life throughout, along with Javert and Valjean, kind of in an epic battle, I guess you could say, through a lifetime until the very end. And I guess you're going to have to come and see it if you want to find out what happens.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a good enough of a teaser right there. If they want to find out the end of that, then they got to come see it.
Exactly.
And we should mention it's all set sort of in the backdrop of 19th century France. Explain how that time is so crucial to this story, too.
Correct. There was at that time, there was a lot of unrest in Paris. There were, you know, you had a definite difference in class between the poor and the upper society, and you had the poor fighting for a better chance at life, for a better world. And you also had a set of students that saw this complete, you know, class system and wanting to break down the barriers of that and standing up for what they believed in. So, which is why there's this current of change, and it really helps to create some epic moments in our show, along with a huge barricade scene, which has a huge battle in it. So there's a lot that happens throughout our show about, again, people fighting to make the world a better place and fighting for their spot in the world.
Explain how that class struggle also makes it pretty darn timely to today.
You know, today there is a lot of people throughout our world that fight every day. I mean, we see it in the news, that fight for the chance to speak, fight for a better world, fight to just be heard. And I feel like, especially with our show, it echoes in today, it echoed when it premiered 33 years ago, and I think that's why people keep coming back to see Les Mis. There is this fight for the human spirit. There is this fight to make the world a better place, that audiences connect with these characters because they can recognize what these characters are going through in their own lives. It might not be, obviously, fighting with a musket or fighting on the streets of Paris, but it's in their own way, they're connecting with Valjean, Enjolras, Marius. They're connecting with all these characters and what their struggle is daily as to what they're going through in their own lives.
Absolutely. And explain sort of, I guess if some of our listeners haven't come to see it as well, I guess if they saw the movie, they know this too, but how it's not like, you know, some musicals, there's spoken scenes between the songs, but this one, it's pretty sing-song throughout the whole way, right?
This one is pretty sing-song throughout the whole way, yeah. The composers, Claude Michel, Schoenberg, you know, this show really is sung throughout the whole time, but you kind of forget that it's being sung at you.
You get lost in it, you know? You do.
You get lost. You get lost in these stories. You get lost in these characters, and you walk away being like, what did I just see? What, you know, like, it really just sucks you in, and it really helps, I think, to also give the show a drive and an energy that you connect with and that pushes you through, you know, it's a 3-hour show, so it pushes you through that 3 hours, and, you know, it's pretty fast.
Absolutely. And while the whole thing is, you know, is sung start to finish, even quote unquote dialogue parts, the songs themselves have become so beloved. I mean, remind us some of them. And we got I Dreamed a Dream, you know, One Day More.
Yeah. You've got songs like I Dreamed a Dream, On My Own, Bring Him Home, One Day More, all of these classic songs that have not only been in the show, but have been recorded by recording artists across the world for 33 years. And I think that that's another reason that the show has stood the test of time is the music. People connect with this score because they've heard the song. They may not have seen the show, but they may have heard the song somewhere and they love the song and they're like, oh, that's what this is from. And so that's the other reason that I think that we have audiences that continue to come back. And that's something that, you know, Cameron McIntosh has also said, is that for 33 years, the show has stood the test of time. And not only is it the music, but it's also the story that helps to solidify that in pretty much the history of theater.
I love what you were saying about how some people will go in there and they'll hear the songs because they know the song, but they say, wait, I didn't know it was from this.
Exactly.
Like if you think about even I Dreamed a Dream, I mean, that's everyone from Anne Hathaway to Susan Boyle now. You know what I mean? It's weird how this stuff goes in pop culture, but it's all started here. How genius were these songwriters?
I mean, they were brilliant. And I think the other thing that we are finding, especially meeting audiences at the stage door afterwards, is, you know, there are audiences that have seen the show, that saw the show when it premiered 33 years ago. They saw, you know, they've seen it, and now they're bringing their children to see the show. And it's interesting because, you know, years ago, they connected maybe with a different character. They maybe connected with Marius or Cosette when they were younger and, you know, in their teenage years. But now they're connecting with characters like Fantine and Valjean and Javert because they're grown up and they're adult and they're seeing these different characters and they're connecting with these songs. And so it's really interesting to not only expose the show to a set of audiences that have all seen it before, but now we're getting to expose it to a whole new set of audiences that have never seen Les Mis. So that's really great for us.
Right, because it just, I believe it just got off of about two and a half years on Broadway, when it, like a revival, right? And now you're touring it, right? So explain how visually it's going to be the same sort of great set design, costume design, as if you're going to a Broadway show, because that's basically what you guys just took on the road.
And that's exactly what we took on the road. We took the entire Broadway set with us. If you saw the original production, you saw that there was a turntable. Well, we've kind of done away with the turntable in this production. But what our amazing set designer discovered is that when they were kind of reimagining the show, Victor Hugo was a prolific painter as well. He did these beautiful sketches and artwork. And so they've been able to take those original art pieces and make them into projections in our show, and which is, it's astounding to be able to get to see it. And, you know, so they project these on the back wall, which really helps to put you in a time and place. So there's a moment at the end of Act One, we're singing One Day More, and we're marching down the streets of Paris, and the projection is moving behind us.
Oh, cool.
That you actually feel the movement, and you actually feel like you're marching with us through the streets. It's really, really great.
That's awesome. Well, all right. Well,
yeah.
We've talked about sort of the set. We've gone into the songs. Dish on your co-stars a little bit. Who plays Fantine? Who plays Javert? You know, not embarrass them, but you make them blush. Make them blush by complimenting them.
Sure, of course. Well, I have to say that Josh Davis plays Javert, and it's so great to work with him every night. You know, we have such a, I feel like there's, like you said, you know, there's an epic battle between Valjean and Javert the entire show. And I think that we really have figured out how to play that on stage every night. And to hear him sing Stars, which is his like big anthem in Act One, it brings down the house every single night. Then you've got Melissa Mitchell, who plays Fontaine. It's breathtaking and beautiful. Her I Dreamed a Dream, you won't want to miss. You know, it breaks my heart to see her every night and see her journey in this character, because it's one of those that audiences connect with, and they really do fall apart. Then you've got Josh Grosso as Marius, and, you know, he's fantastic. It just has the energy of what you want Marius to be. After reading the novel, he kind of encapsulates that character. Gillian Butler plays Cosette, and her soprano is epically beautiful. She has this gorgeous performance in this role. Then you've got Phoenix Best as Eponine. I mean, the girl brings down the house with On My Own every single time. I hear it, you know, through the monitor every night, and I'm just astounded. It sounds gorgeous. The three of them together, there's this kind of love triangle that the three of them have, Cosette, Marius, and Eponine. And it's beautiful that when they all sing together. We've got the Thénardiers, which is Anthony Crane and Allison Gunn, and I mean, hysterical. You won't want to miss their comedic performances are great. And then you also have Matt Schindeldecker as Angelos, and he truly encapsulates that character, helping to build this revolution, helping to have that strength. It's great. I mean, everybody in this show, top to bottom, really helps to bring this world alive for audiences. And, you know, I think that that's the thing that makes our show so special, is that there's not a moment where you can look on stage and see anybody not living in this world.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about you, sir. You know, we can keep it kind of the abridged version, but you know, like, give us a sense of sort of where you grew up, how you got into theater, and how you kind of got to the point where you are on these cool national tours now.
Yeah, I grew up singing in choirs in Arizona. That's kind of where I started. And then I went off actually and worked for the Mouse, for Mickey Mouse, for Disney for 3 years in Japan before making my move to New York. And then for the last kind of, you know, I've been in New York for the last 10, 12 years. And, you know, I've done the revival of Jesus Christ Superstar on Broadway. I did a show called Scandalous, which was written by Kathy Lee Gifford. I did the show called Paramore, which was Cirque du Soleil's first musical on Broadway, which was great. But then I also have toured the country in The Phantom of the Opera before this. So, you know, I've kind of run the gamut of all different types of shows, but I have to say that this one is so special for me. It truly is one of those bucket list roles, and I'm so thankful to be able to tell this story and have the opportunity to, like you said earlier, you know, I've got some really big shoes to fill, and it's an honor to get to do it, and, you know, to also have such a great reaction from audiences across the country.
Absolutely. Final seconds, just sort of in closing, talk about how it's going to be exciting to come and do this at such a historic theater like National Theater. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you guys are following Tina Fey's debut of Mean Girls, the musical here. That's what's currently there right now. And it's a world premiere here. So, and also, I don't know if you're aware of this, West Side Story started there at that theater. The very first audience to see it was there in 1957 before going to Broadway. So you got some history in the building.
There's a ton of history, and there's a ton of history in that city for us, too, because Les Mis started in D.C. Before they went to Broadway, the original production was at the Kennedy Center. So there's so much history. I am so excited to get to the National Theater. I know that the entire company is so excited to be in D.C., especially over the holidays, and, you know, to play such a beautiful, historic theater. It's one of those, you know, again, bucket list. There's some theaters, you know, across the country that you're so excited to get to just to have the opportunity, and this is definitely one of them. So I know that we are all really, really excited to get there, and I can't wait.
Well, sir, you can also cross off your bucket list a lovely interview on WTOP. There you go.
Perfect. No, but thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. This has been fantastic. It's been great. I can't wait.
It was fun. We can't wait to see it. Everybody, Nick Cartel, who plays Jean Valjean in Les Mis at National Theater December 20th through January 7th. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.